Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees, Text Number 2. Shri Parado Vacha. Mamam praloba yot pait patiya. Saktam karmeshu tervarai. Tatsanga bito nirvino. Mumukshus tvam up. Paishvati upashvitaha Shri Parado Vacha Mamam praloba yod patiya Saktam kameshu taravarai Tatsanga bito nirvino. Mumukshus tvam upashvitaha. Can you give me that cup that's over there, that loda that's next to the mandanga? Bhagarai. You know, ladies, Parado Vacha, Mamam Praloba Yopyetya, Saktam Karmeshu Taravarai, Tatsanga Vita Nirvino. Mukshus tvam upashritaha Shri Parado Vacha. Prahlad Maharaj said to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ma, please do not. Mam, me. Pralo Vaya. Allure, Udpaitya, because of my birth in a demoniac family, Saktam, I am already attached, Kameshu, to material enjoyment, Tai, by all those, Varai, benedictions of material possessions. Tat sangha bhita. Being afraid of such material association. Nirvinya. Completely detached from material desires. Mumukshu, desiring to be liberated from material conditions of life. Tvam, unto your lotus feet. Upashritya, I have taken shelter. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj said, My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from material life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Please repeat. Prahlad Maharaj said, My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. For a point, materialistic life means attachment to the body and everything in relationship to the body. This attachment is based on lusty desires for sense gratification, specifically sexual enjoyment. When one is too attached to material enjoyment, he is bereft of all knowledge, rita jnana. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, those who are attached to material enjoyment are mostly inclined to worship the demigods, to procure various material opulences. They are especially attached to worship of the goddess Durga and Lord Shiva, because this transcendental couple can offer their devotees all material opulence. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was detached from all material enjoyment. He therefore took shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nrsimhadev and not the feet of any demigod. It is to be understood that if one really wants release from this material world, from the threefold miseries, and from janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot get release from materialistic life. Atheistic men are very much attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, if they get some opportunity to achieve more and more material enjoyment, they take it. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was very careful in this regard. Although born of a materialistic father, because he was a devotee, he had no material desires. Anya bilasita shita shunyam. So the text again. Shri Parado Vacha Mana Mamam Praloba Yod Patiha Saktam Kameshu Taravarai Tatsanga Bito Niravinyo Mumukshus Twam Upashitaha. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet." Mam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Sitarane. Material world means problems, as everyone probably already has some experience of. And everyone, as Prahlad Maharaj said, is trying to solve their problem. Problem is that we want to be secure, we want to feel protected, and then when we're protected, then be happy. We want to realize we're eternal. We want to realize we're blissful, and we want to find out how to do that. Unfortunately, because Brahma created avidya at the very beginning, our methodology of finding bliss, knowledge, and eternity differs. A person in the mode of ignorance, he'll grab onto anything that seems it's going to give him some protection. He's like the person drowning in the ocean who finds that there's a dog drowning along with him, but is swimming. So he grabs hold of the tail of the dog, hoping that he'll be protected for some time. So that's called the mode of ignorance. In the mode of passion, we build an elaborate boat, hoping that the boat will protect us. In the mode of goodness, we give up trying to figure out how to protect ourselves and try to figure out how to get out of this place. And in transcendental life, we find out who can actually protect us, what actually is protection. Unfortunately, most people are completely in ignorance. As Prahlad Maharaj says, Matir na Krishne paratak satova mito bipadyeta griha ratanam. Matir means the last thing they'll think about is Krishna. They'll take shelter of everything else in this world, but the last thing they'll take shelter of is Krishna. Only when they have no other choice, then they take shelter of Krishna, because, basically speaking, we've come here to see what it would be like without Krishna's shelter. And we're trying to pretend that we're the shelter of all shelters. Of course, it's only pretension, and we're doing a rather poor job of the whole thing, but just like Jarasandha. Jarasandha came with his so many Akshahini divisions of soldiers to the gates of Dwarka, well actually it was Mathura, ready to overrun Mathura with all his soldiers. And Krishna came out with a small band of soldiers. There was a fight that ensued after Jarasandha tried to defeat Krishna with some words. It was rather a bloody mess, but everyone was quite, if you want to have a little excitement, or if you want to make a movie where Krishna starts shooting his arrows And millions of heads get torn off their bodies. Arms, legs, an ocean of blood is formed where the arms and the legs are like seaweed floating in the ocean of blood, where the jewels are like pebbles from their helmets and other ornaments. I mean, you want a little excitement. Dead elephants are islands in the ocean of blood, along with the horses. And then Balaram comes with his club and starts whacking everyone, and the ocean of blood overflows. So Jarasandha, everyone is killed. Millions of people are killed. Jarasandha is left by himself, bound up with ropes, completely depressed, goes back to his kingdom, and his friends say, "Don't worry about it. It was just some quirk." There's no fault in your fighting. It's perfect. It's just somehow this tricky coward boy got you when you weren't looking. So he went back. 17 times he went back. He wasn't at all discouraged. A little blood here and there. What's to be discouraged about? A few million heads here and there. Give it one more good old college try. So that's material life. We're trying so hard in so many different ways to find some shelter in the material world. And when we're informed that there's no other shelter except for Krishna, we think it's unfair. It's undemocratic. It's not what I was looking for. And therefore we find so many different ways to escape the inevitable, that we have to take shelter of Krishna. But in the meanwhile, everyone has their project. Ravindasrupra once said it was our God project. Matirana Krishna Paratak Satova, either by reading some book on self-help. After all, if we were God, why do we have to read a book on self-help? If Hiranyakashipu was God, then why did he have to beg from Lord Brahma for some boon? And why did Lord Brahma say, "Sorry, I can't give what you're looking for. I can't get it myself." And still, there's some imagination. I'm God. I'm the Supreme. Yes, you may become a little bit better, apparently, than other living entities in the material world. And that way you become supreme over them. That's why little children, they get chastised by their parents, and they like to go out and look over the ants. "Look, I may be kicked around, but you better respect me. I got a big foot." So everyone has that mood, somehow or another. Let me cut out all the problems I have and just find someone I could pretend that I'm God with for a while. In any case, griha vratanam, people are fixed in this consciousness. It is very difficult to get them out of this idea because it's always expanding. If they get good at one thing, taking care of their body, then Maya says, well, take care of your family, then take care of your society, then take care of the country, then take care of humanity. It just keeps on expanding one's obligations. As soon as we get good at something, someone will come along and say, "Hey, you're pretty good. Why don't you do this?" Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada didn't want to graduate from school because he thought, if I graduate from school, everyone's going to start engaging me in this, do this, do that, and there's no end to it. If you become expert at solving problems, then people will give you all their problems to solve. But the real problems, that no one can solve. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshana. Those are the problems that only Krishna and his representatives can tell us how to solve. When Prabhupada was in front of a magician. The magician was showing so many tricks, having things disappear and appear, and then he was doing some trick with Prabhupada, you know, having a coin appear from Prabhupada's nose, and the devotees became a little disturbed because this magician seems a little irrelevant. So the magician asked, "Can you show us some tricks?" And Prabhupada said, "Well, can you make birth, death, old age, and disease disappear?" So Prabhupada said, "I can." So who's a better magician, you or me? And why are people willing to go through this illusion? Adanta gobhir vishitam tamizram punak punas charavita charavananam. Because they believe this time it's going to actually be different. That's Maya's allurement. It wasn't so good last time, I know, because you were a little out of practice. But you become so much more mature now. You've gotten so much more experience, and I'll give you a little bit more assistance. People believe that they'll be, somehow or another, qualified to enjoy the material nature, lord it over the material nature, and that way they'll actually get what they're looking for, which is ultimately a life of perpetual happiness with full consciousness. But Prahlad Maharaj says, balasya neho, balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishinha nartasya chagaram udhanvato majitao nao taptasya tat ya prativiti hanjashestas tvadvido bibo tanu britam tvat upekshetanam. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily concept of life, living entities cannot be protected or take shelter of you. Neglected and not cared for, you cannot do anything for their betterment. So let that sink in for a little while. If we're in the bodily concept of life, we can't do anything for our betterment. So that sounds rather extreme. People working so hard. As Prabhupada said, they're driving their cars this way and they're driving their cars that way, trying to do things better. They're trying to improve their lives. They're trying to take shelter of something, but they can't do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother, they can't ultimately protect their child. The doctor, the medicine, ultimately won't prevent the patient from dying. The boat, however strong it may be, will not protect the person from eventually sinking into the ocean of material existence. So our illusion is that we have some shelter in the material world, other than Krishna. Of course, we can pull out people's ideas of what is shelter, svavidra hostra karar samstuta parusha pashu, hogs, dogs, camels, asses. They're taking shelter of the bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Then everyone walks away insulted. Wow, heavy lecture. I know he was calling me a dog, but I think he's more or less like an ass. Hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they glorify the bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. The ones who have seemingly found better shelter. They have more money, they have more material education, they have more influence, they have more personal beauty. They have what we think will actually help us in this struggle in material existence. They become our Mahajans. Mahajano yena katasa panta. But we have to look at what are they taking shelter of. And if it's actually just grabbing onto whatever they can get at the moment, or are they building some elaborate boat with all kinds of holes in it? Or are they just trying to get off the boat and jump into the ocean? And should we follow them? Or can we actually take shelter of Krishna? But in order to take shelter of Krishna, there is the process of taking shelter of Krishna. It's such a simple process, people don't believe it can actually work. They need something, because in the mode of ignorance, we think, oh, that's too simple. It's not enough. I won't get enough prestige and fame. I won't be able to be appreciated enough for my struggle to cross over the ocean material existence. They won't give me a star and a prize at the end. Because at the end, everyone gets a prize. They get the booby prize. Here's your prize for your big struggle. You become a squirrel. And here's some nuts to go along with your new 2013 squirrel body. You're the winner. And don't worry, there's a little female squirrel to go along with you. As I said, Prabhupada was here in Los Angeles. He was going to the doctor, and on the way back, he saw one movie title on the theater, you know, what do they call that? What's that? Marquee. And it said, the title of the movie was, Is There a Sex After Death? Prabhupada came back and gave a lecture. And during the lecture, he mentioned he saw this title of the movie, Is There a Sex After Death? And he told the devotees, you should tell all the people you go out and meet today that they don't have to worry, that there is sex after death. If they knew that, Prabhupada said they won't be concerned about dying. You should tell them there's sex after death in 8,400,000 species of life. Everyone gets to enjoy in the material world. If you're a cockroach and you meet your soulmate, it's those eight legs that attract you. Six. Oh, okay. Whatever, you know. And it's not that the cockroach is thinking, oh, she's so ugly. No, he's thinking, wow, look at that one. Therefore, we shouldn't think that we have some special illusion in the human form of life, that we're so privileged that when we're an illusion, it's a sublime illusion. But one has to understand that if we take shelter of Krishna, and if we take shelter of Krishna specifically by hearing about how Krishna is so nice, how Krishna is actually what we're looking for. How when we become Krishna conscious, it is not that everything becomes disgusting. As it says, Jamunacharya, I believe, Yadad ivadi mama cheta Krishna padara vinde, nava nava rasa damanyu yatam rantumasit, tadavadi, Bhatta nari sangamai smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara shustiu nistivanam cha. It is not that everything becomes disgusting. Actually, everything becomes more beautiful. But compared to Krishna's beauty, everything is insignificantly beautiful. Or everything is beautiful in relation to Krishna as part of Krishna's decoration. Everyone and everything becomes part of Krishna's decoration, and therefore decorating Krishna becomes very beautiful. And because one falls in love with Krishna, therefore one has no desire to look for love in any other place, because everything and everyone reminds one of Krishna. Then one actually has shelter, because one is in the proper mood. One no longer is dragged by the material desires into taking shelter of so many insignificant things. One takes shelter of Krishna, and then everything becomes one's shelter, because everything becomes helping us remember Krishna. And then the soul actually gets peace, happiness, and realizes his eternal identity and his eternal activities. But here, our activities are just to grab something or try to make some perfect arrangement or whatever to get what we'll actually find if we take shelter of Krishna. Unfortunately, ite vidu swarthikatim hi Vishnu. People don't know that. They have no experience of Krishna. The devotees are not going out and being merciful enough to them. They don't know that Krishna is the actual goal. Dharashaya ye bahya arthamanina. And therefore they take shelter of things that are completely insignificant. Whether my football team wins or not, it's not going to help me or protect me from the problems of material life. Whether my son graduates from college or not, it's not going to ultimately help me. No matter what happens to me today, unless I take shelter of Krishna, it won't make any difference. I'll still have the same problems, the real problems. It's not going to affect my real problems. Only how much I take shelter of Krishna by hearing about him, chanting about him, understanding about him, surrendering to him, doing something nice to please him. Only that will actually help me begin to solve my real problems of life. Therefore, andaya tandero pigiyamanas te pisha tantra urudami bara. When we look at anything, see whether it's actually helping me become Krishna conscious or it's dragging me into some insignificant understanding of life. We should ask, who is this person who's instructing me? Does he know anything about Krishna, or is he helping me do something so that I can actually make some progress towards Krishna? Or naishamati stavadurukramangrim, sprishayanarta bhagavanmanarta, mahiyasham padarujevishekam, niskinchananam nanavrinita tadvat. Those who have no other shelter but Krishna, they have to become our shelter. Prabhupada said, guru means one who's the most addicted to Krishna. So as much as we become addicted to Krishna, to that extent we become guru for our own selves and for others. It's not a question of just getting some official position. It's a question of actually realizing that Krishna is my shelter and not kama kami, desiring to fulfill my material desires. So that's our whole philosophy, becoming convinced we have no other shelter but Krishna, and all these other so-called shelters, they're not my shelter. I may temporarily utilize them in service to Krishna, but I should not substitute them for Krishna. So, thank you. I'll stop there. Any questions? Comments? Well, everything became very peaceful. Thanks. Yes. Sparks some interest. Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I was born in an atheistic family. I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Yes.
After all of this, it sounds like similar to Priyavrata, that Prahlad Maharaj did get a kingdom. In other words, he became Prahlad Maharaj, and he was ruling in all of these things. So that would seem to go against what he's saying here, because you could be tempted in so many ways in that by being a king. So what is why does Krishna and Nrisimhadev insist that these great devotees get entangled in, you know, kingly life, which is so tempting? It seems like he violates his request here.
Well, because Prahlad Maharaj wasn't really tempted. I mean, he wasn't, when he got involved in materialistic life, it wasn't really materialistic life, it was service to Krishna, it was service to Nrisimhadev. Therefore it says, Yasyanu Grahami Karishe Tadunai Shanai. That Krishna, first of all, he takes everything away. And then when he sees that the devotee, he's able to utilize everything in his service, then he gives him all, everything he needs, everything, even more than he needs. Yudhisthira Maharaj was saying, my dear, this is Yudhisthira Maharaj's quote anyhow, he was saying that, you know, I want more and more and more, so I can use more and more in your service, so that when people see that when you become a devotee of Krishna, you don't wind up simply with a shaven head and one set of, you know, two sets of clothes on. I want to show that you can become a devotee of Krishna and have unlimited opulence to utilize in your service. Therefore, the devotee, just like Krishna sometimes wants to, in the case of Sudama Vipra, he was perhaps excessively detached. So Krishna wanted to show both Sudharma and the world that you can have all opulence unlimitedly, more than the kingdom of heaven, and still remain completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness and utilize everything in Krishna's service. So Prahlad Maharaj is such an example. Yes,
Archie. Hi, Prahlad Maharaj. Thank you for a very nice class. I was just thinking, since you have a few minutes, you know, most of us don't get to go to Europe too often, and you move around mostly like Radhadesh and places like that. Maybe you can say a few words about that project, Radhadesh.
Radhadesh. Radhadesh, as most temples, they have beautiful deities there. Shishi Radha Gopinath, Lalita Vishaka, plus Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev and Srimati Subhadra Devi, who look like they're related to the deities here. They almost look like they're brothers and sisters. Very similar. And then, of course, they have Gaur Nitai. They have a college there where they're trying to train devotees, both in Krishna consciousness and perhaps some academic level. Then they have the BLS, Bhaktivedanta Library Service, where Vishnumurti Guru has become, with his crew, completely absorbed in trying to compile all the Prabhupada's, everything from Prabhupada's books, and systematize it. And now they're trying to do it in many languages. And along with that, Mahaprabhu there, he has a museum of art. He's into art. And Radhadesh has is an old castle. Has anyone been there, Radhadesh? Has a very interesting history. It was, we were told, it was the castle that they utilized to film the movie Frankenstein. Luckily, it's been utilized in Krishna service for some time. Then it was many different things. It was a hospital during World War II, and it has a long history. The weather makes everyone very Krishna conscious. One realizes there's no shelter except for Radha Gopinath and Radhadesh. I think it rains something like 265 days out of the 365. Yes. Well, it's so green. I mean, it has its advantages. It would be a great place to have a farm to raise cows. There's so much grass everywhere. You just put down, you know, a grass seed, immediately it grows. I usually just, well, I don't spend so much time there. Now, I used to teach at the Bhaktivedanta College, but now I'm acting as the GVC for different areas of Croatia, Slovenia, Bosnia, Serbia. So I spend more time there now. But when I go there, I have my health and I have all my books there. And so I do the ministries there, sannyas ministry and health and welfare. And I do other things, like I give classes and preach and go on engagements. We also have a preaching center now in Brussels. We go on Harinam and things. Mostly I'm sannyasi, simply, preaching. Yes.
Thank you for a very nice class, Maharaj. Can you help to understand what's going on when a devotee knows that Krishna is the only thing that's of value, and they know that certain activities are wrong, and yet they're still impelled to do those activities with that knowledge? So can you help to understand what's happening there?
Yeah, that's called karma yoga. Prabhupada said, when one knows the goal of life, this is chapter 10, text number 10 in Bhagavad Gita, famous verse, Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, when one knows that the goal of life is Krishna, but is addicted to the fruits of activities, then he said to be acting in karma yoga. When one knows that the goal of life is Krishna, but takes pleasure in mental speculation, to understand Krishna, he said to be acting in jnana yoga. And when one knows the goal of life and takes shelter of Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness, then he's considered to be acting in buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga, which is the highest form of yoga. So in the beginning, we're learning by following the process that Krishna is the shelter, and we learn the process of taking shelter of Krishna and the process of getting detached from other conceptions, other shelters. So that's the process that we're going through. And that takes sometimes hearing, and then sometimes it takes experience by practice, and then hopefully that way we'll take shelter of Krishna. Nice being here in New Dwarka. I'd like to thank all the nice leaders here, Savas Prabhu, Naikatma Prabhu, Archita Prabhu, and others who are doing such nice service, taking care of the devotees here, teaching them how to take shelter of the real supreme shelter, Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkanath, Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Srimati Subhadra, Maharani Devi, and Shri Shri Gauranitai, and all the devotees here who are doing such nice service. So hopefully as we take shelter more of their lordships, then we'll be able to give other people shelter also, convince them to take shelter. And that way people will actually come under the supreme shelter. So it's nice to have some shelter here. And I look forward to get some more shelter in the future. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.